It is indeed a privilege to share the Word of God with you, and it's been a joy to be guest in the Montgomery home today and to enjoy the fine food and fellowship there, and it's good to worship with you down the holler. I appreciate that privilege of being here once again. I've been here on various occasions, mostly when it rains, and I thought about Brother Edward leading the service a very long time ago when I was here, probably about 1997, for revival. I remember praying for a young lady that was single, that God would give her a husband, and I did not know that he would import one all the way from merry old England, but his ways are higher than our ways, and certainly appreciate Edward and enjoyed working with him in the years I was with Evangelistic Faith Missions, and Miss Merrill, and getting to be together once a month, and calling Brian on the phone and all that. But it's good to be here. Praise the Lord. And we've enjoyed worshiping with you. I would appreciate you praying for my wife and I. The next 3 weeks, we have a rather intense schedule. If it all comes to pass as scheduled, we're to go to Salem, Ohio this coming Tuesday for a meeting there in Salem, and then close there on Sunday, and then Tuesday start in Ottawa, Kansas with Brother Dale Stratton, and then be back in Canton, Ohio on Tuesday afternoon for the Allegheny Ministerial. Now, if you know anything about Ohio geographics, Salem and Canton are about 35 miles apart. But to go through Kansas to get there means that I really need to get in pace with the times and get one of those GPS thingamajiggers so I don't go so far out of the way to go 35 miles. But seriously, we do appreciate you praying for us, that God will help us in these next few services. God's blessing would be upon us. We certainly need his help in these days. I am of the opinion that we are living close to the coming of the Son of God. I don't believe it's going to be much longer than he that shall come and will not tarry. And I've been praying about that, and I've been preaching about that, and I've thought a lot about that in recent weeks and months. And one of the things this old man wants to do is try to get as many people ready for the coming of the Lord as I can. I've been praying this year, just a little prayer, but I've been praying it from the depths of my heart. I want to see people saved. I'm glad to hear about it. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a phone call from my son John, and he was excited. His cup was overflowing. Two brand new people had gotten saved there in Dayton that had never sought God before, and he was just thrilled with that, and I rejoice with them that rejoice. But I want to see it myself. I want to be there when it happens. A few weeks ago, preaching in the jail service up at Bedford, there at Lawrence County Jail, there was a fellow, when we were singing Amazing Grace, that started crying. I mean, crying profusely. And after I preached, he was crying. And he came forward and prayed and said he got saved. I want to see that kind of thing. Amen. I believe that's what we need to see in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It'd do a lot for the business of you folks that do printing if we get more people saved. They'd need more Sunday school quarterlies, and they'd need more books published, and we'd need to see more churches built instead of closed. But we need to pray that together. Lord, help me to see people saved. I want to see it, don't you? Amen. I want to see it in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so, as I'm traveling for Jesus. I want to see people get saved. I want to see them get sanctified and called to preach and healed and a whole lot of other stuff, but I want to see them get saved. Hallelujah. There's a passage of Scripture over in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 26 through 31, that I'd like to call to your attention tonight. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word and as we pray? Luke chapter 17, and verse 26 through verse 32. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for this assembly tonight. We thank you for these dear people, our friends, and the ones that we've worked with and known for some time. We pray God's blessing upon each and every one here. Remember the pastor today and his dear wife there in Israel. We pray you'd bless their time and these next few hours that they're there. Keep your hand upon them for good as they return and make them a blessing here. But Lord, we're in your presence tonight and we need God's help. So we pray the Holy Ghost to draw near, touch our hearts together in the sweet and lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You know, some people say history repeats itself. You know, it just seems like it's common to man not to learn from history, and so it repeats some of those same lessons over and over again. But I believe this passage, Jesus is telling us that history will soon repeat itself. We have two classic examples of that. Jesus said, I want you to remember the example of Noah, and I want you to remember the example of Lot. And I believe that soon history is going to repeat itself. Because Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Many people today, when you get together with Christians and God's children, they'll say, I believe the coming of the Lord is near. I believe the signs are pointing to His soon return. And I don't believe you can read the old book very long and very carefully, but you'll come to that same conclusion, that iniquity is abounding and sin is rampant, and soon Jesus will come back. Consider that historical reference that Jesus makes to Noah. As it was. Look back at history. Look back at the days before the great flood. What was it like in the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6 verses 5 and 6 tells us this. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. If he felt that way in the days of Noah, certainly he must feel that way today as he looks upon a creation that has forgotten him, who is neglectful of his word and going against his teachings in sacred scripture. It must grieve the heart of God. St. Paul referred to the last days as he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he says, this know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. And certainly these are dangerous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Beloved, history is repeating itself. And the words of the Apostle Paul are becoming true in our day. Look with me over there at verse 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day the flood came and destroyed them all. The people who dwelt on the earth during the days of Noah lived to fulfill the desires of the flesh. They ate, they drank, they married wives and were given in marriage. They were consumed with just those things which satisfied the flesh. Now you have to eat if you're going to live, and you have to drink. The body requires that liquid, that substance that's necessary for life. And God has ordained marriage. But it seems as though that was the extent of their focus. They only thought about those earthly things. Nothing referencing spiritual thoughts or things of eternity. Only eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. You know, this thing about marriage is becoming quite an issue. And the lack of it is becoming quite an issue. You know, Liz Taylor was a famous Hollywood celebrity, movie star. And I remember hearing a broadcast when I think she had just gotten married for the 7th or 8th time. I forget which one it was. But someone was interviewing Liz, and they said to her something about this marriage, this 7th or 8th one. And she said, "Well, I'm just the marrying kind, you know." Well, she certainly proved it 8 times, I think, she was married. And that's common, people following step with Hollywood and divorce and remarried and divorce and remarried and divorce and remarried. But then given in marriage has become the follow-up to that. I don't know how many of you saw the Bedford paper when the first baby of 2013 was on the cover of the paper, and the little baby was there with his parents, and the mother and father were not married, and here's this little baby that's born, given in marriage. And not long after that appeared in the Bedford paper, I was out in Illinois with my parents, and there on the front cover was the new baby, the 2013 baby, and his mother and his father were not married, given in marriage. It's become the norm of our day that there's no shame in fornication. There's no shame in that kind of a lifestyle. There was no shame in the days of Noah. It was a common practice. They just lived for the flesh. Common practice of that day. But a flood came, and something happened to those people. The Bible says the flood came and destroyed them all. I don't know if any of you have run across the book that Dave Gorduk from down at Hobe Sound came up with here a couple of years ago, perhaps now, a daily devotional. It's a very good family devotional, and I picked it up at IHC a couple years ago, and I've enjoyed it greatly. My wife and I use it. We went through it once, and we're going through it again. It's designed for families, and it's designed for children, and I guess that's why it fits me pretty well. You know, my little childish mind, it kind of relates to me pretty well. But as I've read through that, we've been working our way through, and he starts with the book of Genesis, and he has the thoughts that are good for family, and then he has another set of thoughts, thinking deeper. And as we read that account of the Genesis flood, he made it very clear in his presentation that flood is a historical flood. It's a documentable flood. And he said, you know, it's so documentable that those mountain peaks, Mount Everest even, up on its very high lofty peak, there was over 20 feet of water during the great flood. And you get up there on the top of Mount Everest, and if you dig around and search, you'll find fossils up there to prove that there was a great flood one day, and it destroyed them all. Destroyed them all. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now he gives another historical reference. He said, let's look over at Lot and his time. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Similar to the example of Noah is the example of Lot. Likewise, or similar to the days of Noah. They were living only for the physical and not for the spiritual. They did eat and drank. It's necessary to do these things. But let me say right here, I'm amazed at us modern Americans. We never miss a meal. We can find some coins or some cash or some credit cards or some food stamps or some gift cards or some way to purchase some food and some drink. The lines at Starbucks amaze me. The kind of money people put out for a cup of coffee. But then I go down to McDonald's. And the lines down there for those senior citizens like me to get our 50-cent cup of coffee are long too. We're eaters. We're drinkers. I see Lot's day was marked with materialism. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Commerce was booming in Lot's day. They were buying and selling. And we're buyers and sellers as well. The malls, the Walmarts. You want to meet homeless friends? You know where to go. And the dollar stores and the thrift stores and the garage sales, they all speak of buying and selling and commerce. Oh, and don't forget Dinkies. And all these places where you can go and get in on getting things. We're buying and selling. They were building. Construction was booming. They needed lots of trusses. They need people that would do the building. They were into agriculture. They planted. The well-watered plain of Sodom was an agricultural haven. It was a farmer's paradise. It produced in abundance. One of the things that marked the days of Lot was prosperity. They were a prosperous people. Someone called to my attention recently after I'd preached this truth. They said, did you notice one thing different about Lot's day than Noah's day? And he caught me off guard, and I said, no, tell me, what was it? He said, they weren't getting married in Lot's day. I said, oh. They had the same problems we got today in America. Civil unions and same-sex marriages, you know. They weren't even bothering to get married in the days of Lot. It was a perverse and a corrupt day. Verse 29 says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Not a month later, not a week later, not a day later. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What kind of fireproof suit are you going to be able to wear to withstand that kind of heat? Where are you going to store your material treasures when the vaults of the banks are going to melt and flow like water in a river? When the earth melts with fervent heat. And destroyed them all. The inhabitants of Sodom perished in that flaming city. And on the day when the earth melts with fervent heat, everyone's going to perish on the planet we call earth. Beloved, Jesus said history's going to repeat itself. He is coming back. He came once as a baby in a manger, but he's coming again as a judge. There are a lot of people today that forget that this lowly Galilean The one who healed the sick and touched the blinded eyes. The one who raised the dead is coming back as a judge. And he's going to judge this world. Not much preaching about judgment today. Not much thoughts about judgment today. But he's coming back as a judge one of these days. And he's going to judge the world in righteousness. We need to remember that. A lot of times we think about the meek and the lowly Galilean. And he was meek and he was lowly. But he's coming back as a judge. And he's going to judge us. We're going to give an account to this great one. History's going to repeat itself. Jesus came to this earth as a baby in a manger. He walked the dusty pathways. He taught us how to live. And he died for our sins on the rough, rugged cross. They placed him in that tomb and he arose from the dead. After appearing to his disciples and sending back up into heaven, one of these days he's going to come back. Not as a baby, not as a teacher. He's coming back as a judge. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. This warning saved many Christians from death during the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. When the Roman army cut off Jerusalem, when the armies appeared, the Christians fled to Pella and were spared. They didn't go back to get a thing out of their homes because they knew what Jesus said was true in verse 31. And so they fled. They didn't even go back to get their coat and their jacket. They fled. Stuff can be a hindrance to you. Materialism is one of the greatest threats to the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. It's such a subtle threat. It's such a subtle thing that we get a hold of stuff, and stuff becomes so important that we get a little bit like Lot's wife. I read this little article about stuff, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. It simply says, "Every fall I start stirring in my stuff. There's closet stuff, drawer stuff, attic stuff, basement stuff. I separate the good stuff from the bad stuff. Then I stuff the bad stuff where the stuff is not too crowded until I decide if I will need the bad stuff. When the Lord calls me home, my children will want the good stuff. But the bad stuff, stuffed wherever there is room among all the other stuff, will be stuffed into bags and taken to the dump where all the other people's stuff has been taken. Whenever we have company, they always bring bags and bags of stuff. When I visit my son, he always moves his stuff, so I'll have room for my stuff. My daughter-in-law always clears a drawer of her stuff, so I'll have room for my stuff, their stuff, and my stuff. It would be so much easier to use their stuff and leave my stuff at home with the rest of my stuff. This fall, I had an extra closet built so I could have a place for all the stuff too good to throw away and too good to keep with my good stuff. You may not have this problem, but I seem to spend a lot of time with stuff. Food stuff, medicine stuff, clothes stuff, outside stuff, inside stuff. Whatever would life be without all this stuff? Now there's all that stuff to make us smell better. Stuff to make us look better, younger and healthier. To make us healthier. Hunting stuff and camping stuff and fishing stuff. There's stuff to read and stuff to play with, stuff to entertain us, stuff to eat. We stuff ourselves with the food stuff. Our lives are filled with stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, little stuff, big stuff, useful stuff, junky stuff, and everyone's stuff. When we leave all our stuff and go to heaven, whatever happens to our stuff won't matter. We still have the good stuff if we have the Lord and go to heaven." Whew, wasn't that a bunch of stuff? Well, I worked for Evangelistic Faith Missions for 18 years, and some of my stuff had never made it home. I stuffed it at the office. But then when I was getting ready to retire from the presidency, I had to get rid of that stuff at the office and do something with that stuff. So I started trying to sort stuff. That's the challenge. You know, there's some stuff that's bad. You know, you don't need that. And there's the good stuff that you cherish that you don't want to get rid of. But it's that no man's land in between that drives you crazy. Well, it's not real good, and it's not real bad, so what will I do with this stuff? And our house isn't very big. And we don't have a lot of places to stuff the stuff. So you got to make decisions about stuff. What do you do with the stuff? Well, as a preacher, I had a lot of book stuff. I had good books, the commentaries and the great authors, and that was the good stuff that I wouldn't get rid of. I've had some of that stuff ever since I started preaching, and I cherish that stuff. But then there was some stuff that really didn't amount to too much, and it's pretty easy to get rid of that stuff. But the stuff in between, oh, what consternation that brings to try to decide what to do. Well, I went through it and easily brought the good stuff home, but then there was still a lot of stuff. And so I decided what I would do. I would take all those boxes of mediocre book stuff to prayer meeting with me. And I got permission from Brother Height to put it in the vestibule of the Faith Mission Church. And I had about 3 boxes full of book stuff. Some of it was real good stuff, but I didn't have room for the stuff. So after church, there in the lobby, and even before church, 3 books! And I got rid of about 1 of the 3 boxes of book stuff. But there was one person that was not there. And his wife said, "Oh, Brother Manley, my husband would like to look through this stuff." I said, "He's welcome to. Let him take it. Let him have it all. Enjoy." And he looked through it, and he gave me about 1.5 boxes back of my stuff. I put it in the trunk, and I drove up to Goodwill, and I unloaded the stuff. I didn't want to take it back home. And ever since then, I've still been trying to get rid of stuff because our house is small. In fact, last weekend, I went to my daughter's up in Michigan, and I stuck a little stuff in the car, and I unloaded some of the stuff on her. And Tuesday, I'm going to go see my son, John, and I've already got some stuff in the car that I'm going to unload some stuff on them, because you can just get an awful lot of stuff. And Lot's wife was told to leave the city because it's going to be baptized with fire, and the people are going to be destroyed. And she was told, and Lot and their daughters, to not look back at the stuff. And the angel got a hold of them, because you see, they were in bondage to stuff. They didn't want to let go of the stuff. That's what the Bible says, S-T-U-F-F, stuff. And so the angel started leading them out. They weren't to look back. But there was something back there in the stuff that she thought, "Man, I can't live without that." And she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt over stuff. Maybe it was good stuff. Maybe it was legitimate stuff. But it cost her soul. And she perished. And you know, I want to hold lightly to the stuff of this world. I know we need certain things to live a normal life, but we live in a culture of materialism. And some of us are old enough to remember when we had a whole lot less stuff. And we seem to exist without it. I tell you, when you think about how much, I started coming down here to Wisebaugh back in 1994. In fact, I came down here and brought some EFM stuff for the Missionary Herald. And I came to the prayer meeting service in the old church in October, I think it was. Think of how much stuff back in 1994 that we didn't have, that we just have to have today. The kind of stuff that technologically has come to pass. Smartphone, iPad, a whole bunch of stuff Some of this stuff wasn't even common back there 18 plus years ago. But you know, if we're not mighty careful, we can think that we've got to have stuff and we don't have the right person. You know, he lived very, very, very meagerly. In fact, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, he didn't have much stuff. In fact, when he died, he didn't have much stuff. Think about it. When he died, he didn't have much stuff. In fact, when he died, his clothing went to the Roman soldiers. And his mother, he gave her to John the Beloved. He didn't have much. He gave his body to Joseph. But you know what he gave to his disciples who forsook all to follow him? He said, my peace I give unto you. Praise the Lord. He didn't have much stuff, but he sure gave away a tremendous thing when he gave his peace to his disciples. And he's been giving his peace to his disciples ever since. Hallelujah. And you know, peace is better than stuff. If you got a choice, it's a whole lot better to have peace than it is to have a bunch of stuff. Amen. Jesus left this old world with very little, but he left his peace. Thank God for that. You know, beloved, history is going to soon repeat itself. Everybody's got their own ministry. I realize that. And everybody's got their own calling. And I thank God that we're not all the same. Each one of us have different gifts and different talents and a different place to fill in the great kingdom of God. And you fill your place, and by the grace of God, I'll fill my place. That's important. But in recent months and weeks, as I've been praying, and God's been opening some doors for evangelism, I've been praying, oh God, I want to do my part to help as many as I can get ready for the coming of the Lord. For I believe he's coming soon. I believe history's going to repeat itself. You know, I thought about Noah back there. He didn't know what it was going to be like for a flood to come. It never rained in his lifetime. His wife didn't know what rain was like. His sons didn't know what rain was like. His daughter-in-laws didn't know what rain was like. They knew they were supposed to build a big boat. And they were supposed to prepare it for animals and for birds. They made that huge ark, 120 years in making. They didn't know all what was ahead. They just knew they were minding God. And that's what you need to be doing too before he comes back, is minding God. Whatever he says to you, you be doing it. Whatever he says to you, you just keep your lamps all trimmed and burning and keep doing what he wants you to do. They kept building that ark and preparing that ark. Before long, they started seeing these giraffes show up and an elephant show up and a hippopotamus showed up, and a lion showed up, and a whole bunch of birds started coming down that direction. And before long, they just started going into the ark. And everything got all ready. Noah got inside, and his wife got inside, and the boys got inside, and the daughter-in-laws got inside, and God shut the door. And the rains descended, and the floods came. And water encompassed the whole earth. And they all perished. They were on the outside of the ark. But those who were on the inside, they survived. Because they'd minded God. You know, I went to China back. Well, I went to Taiwan, the first Chinese place over there in 1986. And they were telling me about the Chinese characters. You know, they got these all these unique characters. Instead of just an alphabet, they got these kind of like little drawings. And you know what the character for flood is? It's a boat with 8 smiley faces on it. Yeah, you'd have had a smiley face too if you'd been on the boat. You wouldn't have had that same kind of face if you'd been on the outside the boat. So even the Chinese and their characters point to the fact that there was once a great flood. And there were 8 smiley faces inside that boat. I want to see a lot of smiley faces get ready and be ready when he comes back. Oh, I think we ought to be serious about getting people saved today. I think we need to get serious about getting people right with God, doing what we can to get the folks of our families and our community right with God. I've been praying in my own personal life. I like to hold revivals when God opens doors. But you know what I really like to do? I like to preach to sinners that need to be saved, like that guy over there in the jail. That when we were singing Amazing Grace, tears starts coursing down his cheeks. And when the invitation is given, he comes and he prays and seeks God. Hallelujah! I've been in some tent meetings and preached to some people that didn't know Jesus. I've done it out there at my dad's several times on the old farm. We had about 13 tent meetings in a row. And didn't see a lot of people get saved. God, the Holy Ghost, talked to a lot of them. And a lot of them across the line of worlds now. And I believe they heard the gospel, and I believe God was faithful. And I believe we need to get ready because the King's coming back. And those that aren't ready are going to be destroyed. History is going to repeat itself. As it was in the days of Noah, likewise as it was in the days of Lot. These aren't just stories, little fairy tales, little wise fables. Oh, no, these are facts. Your pastor was down at the Dead Sea. I heard this morning they were talking a little bit about that. And they tell us that probably in that region is where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And the fire and brimstone descended upon those cities and destroyed them. God's not pleased with that kind of a lifestyle then or now. God wants them to repent just like the Corinthians that were engaged in that lifestyle did and get right with God. Oh, beloved, history's going to repeat itself. Jesus is going to come back. The angels told those disciples, they were looking up toward heaven, about to sunburn their tonsils, you know, looking up at Jesus going up into heaven. And the angel said, why stand ye gazing upward? This same Jesus, which you've seen go up into heaven, shall so come in like manner. He's coming back. Oh, let's keep ready. Let's work till Jesus comes. Let's pray and seek His face because He's coming back. Let's get people right with God. And beloved, if you're not right with God, you better get ready. He's coming back as a judge. And you're going to stand before the judge and give an account. When I preach up at the jail, Brother Mike Hosop will ask for prayer requests. You know what the most common one is? Pray for me. I've got court this week. I'm going to stand before the judge this week. Pray that he'll be lenient. Pray that he'll be merciful. They know they're going to stand before the judge. And that's just in our judicial system here in Indiana. They're going to stand before a man or a woman. But one day we're going to stand before God and give an account. Oh, let's be ready. Because history's going to repeat itself. Let's stand together tonight. Again, just before we go home with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if Jesus has been talking to you today and you need to do some praying, we surely love to do some praying with you. Because you see, one of these days it's not going to be eating breakfast, and eating lunch, eating supper. And it's not going to be going to work and building trusses and running presses and operating computers. One of these days, it's going to come to a halt. It did down in Sodom. They were doing the normal things, eating, drinking, building, taking care of the duties at hand. And then that all changed very rapidly when fire fell and destroyed them all. People were going about their normal business. And then it began to rain and the flood came, took them all away. Serious business, folks. Let's be serious about serving God. Father in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness to us today, the privilege of sharing your word with these dear people here at Wisebaugh. We pray, God, to bless this church and this people and help us all to realize that one of these days we're going to say goodbye to all of our stuff and we're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help us, Father, to live a life that pleases You. Help us to live a life that glorifies You. Help us to be rapture ready and be obedient to the Lord. Make this a good week in the Lord. We pray Your blessing upon this people. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.